This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is Hard Factor.
And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
To another episode of Hard Factor, presented by the Barstool News Network. It is Florida Man Friday, September 18th, 2020. You guys feeling good today? Feeling good on this Friday?
Woo. Oh, yeah. I'm ready to run through this podcast like it's a brick wall.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. A brick wall made of Florida men and women.
Can't beat a Friday. Cannot beat it. Even during this weird-ass 2020 where, like, the days meld together. Friday still has a little bit of shine to it, if you ask me.
Oh, the end of the week is always incredible. I mean, like, if they ever took the end of the week away from us, I don't know what we'd do. But bro, as long as you had that weekend coming,
don't even mention that. Well, yeah. Don't put that evil out there.
What are those countries?
Well, I don't know how could you do that? Oh no,
I don't even know.
Never mind. Let's not stop talking about it.
We're talking about Italy.
Anybody any ideas?
Whoa!
Every weekend's a 3-day weekend. That sounds sick.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is nice.
Well, that sounds good. Yeah, right.
And a lot of those European places do like the siesta. Like the long lunch. Drink,
do you think one of
beers,
these candidates is
going
to pull out the 4-day work week as part of their campaign? Now that could really
scales. No, not the two guys that were born in the 1920s. No, they're not going to. No,
might take
30s,
one away.
Mark. 30s.
Whatever.
You think they're going to go to the 6-day West?
Yeah, they might go to the 6-day. These dinosaurs are not giving you a 3-day weekend.
All right, well, let's hope they go to the 4 or leave it to 5 at least. Florida Man Friday, as always, it's just Florida stories wall to wall, and then we got voicemails and reviews to close out the week. Mark, get us going.
All right, I got a double Florida woman for you.
Ooh,
today.
Huh?
Like that? First one is a wild one out of Daytona Beach.
On the same week where we have the women's HAGFD shirt in the store, Barstool.
Who
store.
Rules the world?
King of the segues. Will is the king of. Oh, it's so good when he just.
Get that shirt.
Seamless.
Take a second. Get that shirt. Well, a 64-year-old woman assaulted a child living in the same house as her, guys. Information on what their relationship is, except that they live in the same house.
Let's not ever give her a shirt.
No, she doesn't deserve a shirt, but her name is awesome. Her name is Lovely Butts. L-O-V-E-L-Y, lovely, and then Butts, which is a cool name. But once you get one look at her, you probably are thinking maybe she should change her name to Cigarette Butts, because she looks rough for 64. She looks 83 and very, very crazy. You can see it in the eyes.
Yeah, or maybe Loose Butts.
Yeah, saggy butts. It's gross, right? Lovely, I guess, accused the child of tampering with her medication, so it sounds like the kid probably just took her drugs.
That's an infuriating. We've gone over that over here, and I heard the Chicago guys on radio talking about it too. I mean, it's polite to stay out of the upstairs, stay out of the medicine cabinet when you're over at somebody's house.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where people are accusing other people of tampering with their medication, and they're not at all tampering with their medication.
Okay, that's part of medication in some respects.
She's tampering with my Grandma, I've been right here.
You're saying
I haven't left your sight.
Someone tampered with Lovely's medicine, and it might have been Lovely, and she just forgot.
Exactly.
But she, in response, what happened was she yelled, "I'm going to go get the bleach," which is probably something she yelled a lot. But this time there wasn't an empty threat. She went and got the bleach, and she mounted the child and then poured the bleach all over her face, mouth, and eyes, like waterboarding style, to the point the child started to lose consciousness. Jesus. So I don't know, maybe she thought she had COVID or something. I don't know, but she poured the bleach all over.
Did the kid know this was coming as a punishment? Because the way it reads, Lovely's like, you knew this was coming, the bleach. Or was she innovating on the spot?
Why did that kid not try to run? It seems like it just...
Yeah, it sounds like a Cinderella type environment where I'm telling you, I think she yells she's gonna get the bleach a lot.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when you go over to some kid's house, like some sad kid who's like, yeah, my dad and his belt, like, you know, Lovely and the bleach.
Right. Exactly, that. Like, you gotta go. I'm about to get bleached real bad.
Yeah, I'm gonna get hit with this wooden spoon.
At one point,
you were right. Lovely Butts really does need a different name. I mean, she sounds like a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah, no, she should. Lovely is a very ironic name for her, incorrect name. At one point, it's like when someone's called tiny and they're huge. At one point, the female child got out of the house and Lovely Butts did what she does best, locked her out. When the child tried to get back in,
Butts locked out of the house with bleach in her eyes?
Covered in bleach. And when she tried to get back in, Butts threatened to pistol whip her with her handgun. I'm gonna pistol whip you. And then eventually threw a Tupperware filled with leftovers at the child's chest. Here, eat your food.
Dinner.
This leads me to believe that she didn't mess with the medicine. Because you know that Lovely's capable. You're not touching that fucking medicine if you're this child.
Well, no, sounds like Lovely needed the medicine.
Yeah, the old people forget that they've taken their medicine all the time. I remember when my son was like 2 or 3, my mom was visiting, taking care of him, and I was like in the room sleeping, and she wakes me up, and she's frantic because she thinks that my son had grabbed her like blood pressure medicine off of the table, I start like screaming at my mother, like telling her all the bad things that she did when I was a child, and like how she was a terrible mom. We had to call the ambulance. My son had to go to the fucking Dell Children's Hospital. They put like charcoal in his belly. Yeah, because it was like a medicine that if he did take it, it would have like really dropped his blood pressure because he was so small, but he didn't take it. You know, she took it and forgot.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. Very scary.
At least you got some of those things out. Must've been cathartic.
Oh yeah. I got some real mean shit out on my mom that day.
Well, I mean, sorry, I'm sure Daddy. You're better for it now. Do you think this Lovely Butts, do you think she had the way they describe this, do you think she has like a meal slot in her front door? Like it sounds like a prison.
Oh man, funny you should mention that, Will. Here you go. When police eventually arrived on scene after being called by insane Lovely Butts, one of those classic Floridians calling the cops on themselves tactics, they found the loaded handgun laying in Butts' room and then cups full of urine in the child's room. When asked about it, the child said she urinates in cups because every time she leaves the room, including going to the bathroom, Butts screams at her and attacks her. She just never leaves the room most days.
I call them my little toilets.
Just pees in cups because she doesn't want to go out. She doesn't want to go out and see Butts.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like this is a meal slot situation.
Terrible.
At the front door.
Terrible.
Like,
let's get her into a new home. Mm-hmm. Right. Next up, this one was sent in by Hardo Hive member Al. 37-year-old Lori Lee Shaver killed her husband, but may have had some buyer's remorse because she assumed his identity for several years, all the way up until she was caught recently. So, yeah, what happened was, I guess, Shaver allegedly killed her Disney monorail mechanic husband back in 2015, and an investigation was only launched into his disappearance in 2018 after one of his friends said, you know, I haven't heard from him in years. So she got away with it for years.
Guy didn't have many friends, huh?
No, it didn't.
Well,
he was
at the bottom rung of engineers for train travel. A monorail engineer is the lowest form. You just hit the brakes, pretty much.
I mean, is he so invisible that even his work didn't miss him? Like, come on.
Right.
And then
3 years?
3 years that they didn't, no one cared. Apparently what she was doing, this is all she needed to do, was she just assumed his identity on like Facebook and still had his phone. So she would like randomly text people and be like, hey, it's me, Mr. Shaver. I'm still alive. Are you having a good alive day like me? Cause I'm alive. It's me, Mr. Shaver. So she just was texting and doing stuff on Facebook and Twitter, you know, to make it look like he was alive, but no one saw him cause he was buried in the backyard since 2015. So they finally just realized he wasn't alive, or like he was missing. Apparently she started telling
his family was like, hey, haven't seen him in 3 years.
Well, obviously his friends and family clearly aren't very well. Like, they're not really involved in his life. Clearly.
It's probably when he announced that he was a monorail engineer.
You didn't hate his crazy wife.
No, she didn't. In fact, she would just tell people that she started to tell people that he just left and she didn't know where he was.
Point Wes just brought up.
It was
Lori herself. Yeah,
they hated his crazy wife.
Oh, yeah. Well, probably. I mean, yeah, but they let him get killed by her.
But then she would be so alone.
Eventually, when people started catching on, they came over and asked to search the backyard with cadaver dogs, which she said no to. So then they got a warrant. And guess what? The cadaver dogs smelled his dead body, which was buried under a concrete slab under the fire pit in the backyard. Shallow grave. His death has been ruled a homicide, obviously. And the evidence is starting to pile up against Lori. Like when she told a boyfriend recently that her husband's not really missing, he's no longer walking the earth. So classic taunt that a lot of people that kill their spouses get caught up in when they get a little drunk and they just brag about
just
killing
her
spouses.
Current boyfriend about it. Wow.
Maybe if he paid a little more attention to me, he wouldn't be buried under the fire pit.
Right. Not the person to tell, also.
Proverbially.
About how you killed the last one.
Man. Yeah. Cadaver
that's
dogs.
Scary stuff.
That's the short straw for sniffing dogs. Like you got to be pissed if you're when they're handing out what you're going to be sniffing for and you get cadavers if you're a dog.
What else is it? Drugs and cadavers.
Drugs is
what
number is one, it? Obviously. Bombs the,
it's
probably
a
number
short
two.
List.
To get bombs, to get truffles.
Truffles.
Yeah. You'd rather bombs over cadavers?
No, you'd want.
I don't know. Bombs
in
is
this
pretty
order,
dangerous.
Drugs.
Bombs is the worst by far because it could explode.
Yeah, bombs is really bad.
Truffles is the best because you get to be in the woods just jaunting around.
And they're delicious.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, there's cancer dogs, too.
There's no such thing as truffle-sniffing dogs.
Yeah, there's got to be.
The pigs smell them, and there's some dogs that can smell them, pretty sure.
Yeah.
But you don't hire dogs to smell truffles.
It's like the sommelier of dogs. Yeah, sure. It's like a dog sommelier.
Because you want to collect them because they're valuable. It's like metal detecting.
They're under the ground, and only dogs can tell you where they are. Pigs too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Learn something every day.
I tell you, like, the worst is the ones that can sniff cancer.
Truffle smelling dog sounds pretty good.
That you have cancer.
I might be wrong.
That one's made up.
No, dogs can sniff cancer. Absolutely.
They can smell seizures, 100%. Too.
They're working on dogs right now that can sniff COVID.
I can't tell if I'm being fooled.
No, I swear to God.
Sometimes when my dog just like looks at me with a blank stare, I think that it's like detecting something horrible.
You might have cancer, Will.
Like a seizure that's going
to
happen.
Your
dog's working up the courage to tell you you have cancer.
He puts his paw on your hand.
Yeah. He slides a pamphlet over.
I get worried.
How to deal with cancer.
Stop what looking at me like that.
What do you know?
What do you know?
All right, let's move on. Guys, there is perhaps no fashion statement out there that old white men and women of America hate more than that of the saggy pant. Just the sight of a pant sagging with underwear showing is enough to make an old white person roll their eyes with disgust. They just can't understand it. Which is why the old people living in Opa-locka, Florida, of which I assume there are many, are in big trouble because an archaic and racist ordinance, requiring members of that community to dress appropriately is being repealed, allowing men and women of all ages, races, and economic backgrounds to once again show old people their undergarments without risking a ticket from the local racist police
The entire county up until recently had a no sagging pants ordinance.
I think it was just this city, Opa-locka.
It was like a southern frat bar.
Yeah,
it had those dress rules.
Mm-hmm. No black people in Opa-locka whatsoever.
No jerseys, right. No white shoes.
Mm-hmm. How do we let them know they're not welcome here without, you know, actually saying it?
Exactly, Pat. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. So the legislation going back to 2007 and the ordinance in 2013 had made it illegal to wear pants that show your underwear. But last week, Opa-locka City Commission voted 4-1 racist guy to appeal that legislation and ordinance. Which
that guy's so mad. He's going to leave the county.
He just leaves the city. He just doesn't understand why can't they. I don't know why they don't see what I see.
You're all going to regret this.
Yeah, got your priorities backwards. So
they're going to have their underwears out as far as the eye can see. Yeah.
So the vote which led pantsaggers everywhere rejoicing and once again yanking those jeans down and those draws up and tightening those belts where they should be tightened, the upper thigh. Vice Mayor Chris Davis, who sponsored the repeal, had this to say, quote, "I was never in support of it. Even as a resident, I felt it disproportionately affected a certain segment of our population, which is young African-American men." I mean, I would have been affected too back in the day. Big time pant sagger over here at one point.
Mm-hmm. You were like a JNCO sag guy.
I did not a JNCO. I never was a JNCO sagger, but it's just a nice, you know, just good right around the butt.
Just a good straight leg jeans. Yeah,
that's like not even a sag compared to today's sags. Like sometimes today's sags.
Some of them are
below some of the guys back. Some of the guys
way
back
below the butt.
I remember in elementary school. Yeah, guys would have that thing tied up. Like, I mean, it would be like almost below, halfway down their dick. That's where the pants were at.
Some of them are mid,
totally below the cheeks. Oh, below
almost
the butt
to the
cheeks,
knee, almost the knee. Sometimes
it's a commitment. To fashion, where it's impeding your walking ability. When the pants
it was impressive when you could walk with your pants that low. If somebody was like athletic and walking around with their pants that low, you knew, imagine what they were like with the pants all the way up.
Right.
It was just so fast.
It was pretty impressive.
They used to wear sweatpants under it just because it was too low.
Or like athletic shorts because it goes all the way to the, all the way to the knee.
Yeah, there was like,
I could just never wear my pants that low. I got to say.
A ribbon of garments going down their legs.
No one's going bare-assed here. They always have just a different piece of clothing underneath them.
The pants. So, of course, the ACLU of Florida wholeheartedly agreed with that statement as they thought the law was, quote, a ridiculous waste of public resources, saying it would impose overly harsh penalties for victimless behavior and disproportionately affect black youths. It's just white people not being able to stand that look and being racist. Glad it's gone.
That's
bullshit.
That's so funny that one guy still voted against.
Oh, yeah. 4-1.
You're going to regret this.
Yeah, he's so mad.
Them drawers are going to be haunting you for years.
I wouldn't want to be his wife the day after the vote, or the night of the vote when he came home from work.
First, it's
how
the
was
pants,
my day?
The
how
pants
was my
going
day?
Down. Then it's the home values. Then what else is going down?
Yeah, just slamming plates.
Oh, God, yeah. So that's that.
All right. Hey, guys, you remember that time we kept feeding Wes sleeping pills, thinking that they were Adderall? Just to keep him editing during a 48-hour film festival that one time. And then we were also slamming him full of Pepsi Max and just like Ambien mixture the whole
almost
time.
Almost killed him,
Pepsi
Max. Yeah, and we were just demanding that he stayed awake the whole time and keep editing.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fun. Well, I think about that moment all the time. Do you, Wes?
I don't think I took the Ambien. I think it was...
No,
you guys,
it was me and
took
you.
The Ambien.
You did.
I did.
Okay. We told you didn't.
It was me and you, but I wasn't editing. I was just supposed to be like, your lookout. I was like an extra pair of eyes, being like, good cut. Yeah.
Well, I wish I could capture that moment forever. And lucky for me, between naps, I was taking pictures that night, and so I've got some photographic evidence that I can give to the painters over at Paint Your Life. So Wes's fateful night will now forever live in majesty inside of one of the rooms in my house. And Matt, you know, that's just like the nicest thing I could possibly do for myself is just like, frame that picture of Wes suffering and then me getting all the enjoyment of it while I just sit there in my living room. Now, imagine if I was to give
that
to somebody
else. It's sick,
Will,
but it makes sense. I totally get
it. He was probably looking like lovely butts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I just
crazy
like how
ass.
His eyes were popped out. He was sweating when it was cold, kind of in the basement, and I was just like snoozing next to him.
Man, I don't think he could handle that at this age. Luckily, he was a young lad.
Weren't we in the my company studio in D.C. when that happened?
I don't know.
No, we were all living in the house where a random roommate killed a dog. In
gotcha.
The basement.
Yeah, we kept We had a sliding door. We kept smoking cigs to stay awake.
Oh, Benthamin. Yes, that one.
Well, I'm going to see if the artist, the Paint Your Life, can capture all of that mystique into this beautiful painting when I have it commissioned by them. And it's a gift, like I said, for myself. But just imagine how lucky someone would be if I were to give them a gift, something as thoughtful and meaningful to them as that was to me, watching Wes battle the effects of Ambien and Pepsi Max until like 11 a.m.
I might send a picture of a guy sagging his pants to the one guy that voted against it.
Exactly. See, it's perfect for any occasion, Paint Your Life. It's the best gift you could possibly give somebody. They'll remember it forever. They'll have to hang it because it's hand painted. And this is why you need to use this for any time that you need to make an impression. Get a professional hand painted portrait created from any photo at a truly affordable price. Choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect. User-friendly platform lets you order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. At PaintYourLife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited-time offer, get 20% off your painting, which is huge because it's like, I think it's like $200, but it's 20% off That's a big discount. That's right. 20% off and free shipping, which that's even bigger than 20%, honestly, with the painting. So to get this special offer, text the word FACTOR, FACTOR, to 64,000. That's FACTOR, FACTOR, to 64,000. Text FACTOR to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most.
Hell nice. Yeah. All right, guys. So this next one, let's talk about Disney. Disney fans are serious. I'm not one of them. But the hardcore Disney fans would make the Cleveland Browns fans call into question their own grit and dedication, if you ask me. There's some real Disney psychos out there. I thought people just liked the movies until recently when I saw that show Disney Fairy Tale Weddings on Disney Plus, and I realized how many just nut jobs there are who are Disney crazy in the world. Have you guys seen that show?
No.
No.
It's a whole show based around adults, grown adults, who want to get married at Disney World. That's their whole dream.
I've done weddings where the couple was so into Disney that the wedding was Disney themed. The bride walked down to like a princess song from a Disney movie.
How do they not get married at Disney World then?
They were going for their honeymoon, Will.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh, special romantic get together at Disney World.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's the equivalent of
That's when you break off the engagement.
Right, wife to Chuck E. Cheese or something. Hey, and more power to you if you want to make, animated children's characters created by a noted anti-Semite a pillar of how you live your life. It's just not for me. But again, I respect the grit, guys. Enter a Florida man and Disney fan, Roy Fields. And Roy, in addition to loving Disney, Fields is a Christian musician, an evangelical pastor, and a 9/11 truther, who is not about that mask life. However, he is about that Bugs life, which was evidenced when security escorted him out of Disney's Hollywood Studios in Lake Buena Vista, Florida, for refusing to wear a mask in the park. He had gone to Disney to celebrate a weird-ass movement called Burn Your Mask Day.
Why would you do it at a place that requires masks, though?
I don't know. I don't.
That's the fatal flaw of that protest was that they did it at a place where that was against the rules.
Right. Well, that's where he did it. I think Burn Your Mask Day started in North Carolina. This guy just went to go test. He said it in his like Facebook Live. He's like, I'm testing this law. I'm going to test it. But Disney just has a fucking mask policy, so I don't know what he's doing.
Right.
The sleeveless, long-haired man was caught on video walking backward toward the park's exit while being corralled by 2, 3, and 7 Disney security guards. But this Florida man was not going to go quietly into parking area G. He expressed the perceived injustice and attempted to rally support from other mouse heads by yelling misquotes from the movie A Bug's Life at the top of his lungs.
Easy to do. Was he quoting ants instead?
He wasn't quoting ants. I think that's DreamWorks. That'd be real embarrassing for him.
They came out like the same year. This fucking... The two Bugs movies.
Yes, sister movie, twin movies. This is what he said, guys. Remember that movie that came out at Walt Disney World? It was called A Bug's Life. Remember Hopper? If one guy stands up, one ant stands up, and then they all stand up and they'll lose control. And that was like, if you're not a Bug's Life guy, what he was trying to say is a quote from the film's villain Hopper, who's Grasshopper, who's talking about an ant standing up to him, saying, you let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Misquoted it.
Oh.
Interesting thing that he's...
Don't want that.
He's saying Disney World is the evil Grasshopper, even though he's a huge Disney World fan.
Well, I'm just surprised he's an evangelical preacher, and he didn't quote scripture. He's quoting he's misquoting A Bug's Life while being tossed out of Disney.
Could you imagine loving Disney so much and hating it at the same time?
Yeah, scroll down to see the picture of this guy.
He's got one of those like Sears portraits going on.
Yeah, he's got like a 9-minute video, like a 9/11 truth video about how like the $5 bill shows the Twin Towers falling down. Are you guys familiar with that conspiracy theory? Anyway, he's great musician. I recommend you check out Roy Fields' stuff.
Nice. Whoa, look at that headshot. Yeah, I just got there. Yikes. Oof. Well,
yeah.
I mean, he's a performer for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Look at that hair. Nice. All right. Is that it?
That's Roy Fields, baby.
Cool.
Nice. Shit. Roy Fields.
Stunning headshot.
You know what's more fun, guys, than being murdered by your wife, like in my previous story, or having bleach poured on you by your insane guardian, also in my previous story?
Everything.
Well, gambling on the news is one of those things that's more fun. Yeah. And you can do that and get a free $20 to do so. If you go to www.predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20, go to that URL I just mentioned, then there's no promo code. That's the promo URL. If you deposit at least $20, you will get a free $20, no strings attached, no minimum bet amounts or anything like that. And guess what? It's legal in all 50 states, so you can just do it from your actual address instead of,
Yeah,
exactly. The market I like today is the what will be the popular vote margin in the 2020 presidential election. So this is one of those markets where there are bands or brackets, whatever you prefer. They all have that, but sometimes it's only two bands. This one has like 15 bands. So like they range from Republicans will win the popular vote by more than 10%, and then they go all the way to the Democrats will win the popular vote by more than 10%, and everything in between. And it's by like 1.5%.
Wow.
So right off the bat, I think you can just eliminate all the Republican brackets. 2016, Hillary Clinton, who's not very popular, won the popular vote by 2.1%. So I think, you know, you can eliminate the popular vote going to the Republicans. That's half the brackets. Then I also think that, you know, the Democrats aren't going to win by more than, let's say, 5 to 6%. So you can eliminate like the top four Democratic brackets, leaving Dems win by, you know, 0 to 1.5%, Dems by win by 1.5% to 3%, and then like so on. That leaves like four brackets total, and you can get them for 40 cents. So if you evenly distribute like $100
the Dem,
on those
the Dem
four brackets,
blowout brackets are by far the favorite right now. That's crazy.
Right. I think that it's going to, I mean, it doesn't make any sense that anyone will win by more
10%
than
10%.
That's crazy.
Is the leader?
Yeah, that's crazy. So you can eliminate
that.
So take my advice and buy like the four smaller Dem brackets for 40 cents, evenly distribute your money, and you'll more than double up. If you put $100 in those first four Democratic brackets, you're going to come back with like $1,000 if you put $100 in each of those brackets. So that's my advice.
Nice.
I think it's pretty good advice, if you ask me. And look, if you want in, you should go to www.predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20 and create an account now. Shout out to our Catholic priest loyal listener who said we should start writing our picks down and having them like available for people to go like to look at.
Yeah,
so that,
no, we
so
we
that
definitely
he doesn't have
do.
To frantically like hit pause while he's on the road and he doesn't want to get in a car accident because he's trying to like listen to our picks, but we don't have like a place where people
we're
going to
work on
up.
That.
We're going to work on that. So
we will definitely do that. And especially leading up to the elections, I can promise that we will have that shit put together by the first debate. Right, guys?
Yeah. Exactly. We're going to
get all that.
Yeah. We'll have like, we'll blog about it, but also we'll have like a place for you can go and look at all of our picks and maybe like our overall record.
Consolidate them somehow. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. You know, she's got a website going. Fuck.
There you go.
Well, it's almost like we work for one. Where we can use it.
All right,
how are you?
Let's do, guys. This is was easily the most submitted Florida man story of the week, possibly of all time. Guys, I have long heard the lore of what a finger on the prostate can do for a man. Milking the prostate, I believe, is the term. Pat, would you drink some prostate milk? Pat saw you down that pig brain milk, which was hilarious. How do you feel about?
it was an epic
prostate milk.
You can't trick me, Wes. I know that. Prostate milk isn't actually milk. I knew that.
Okay. Thought I'd try. Anyway, apparently massage.
Well, then you might like it.
Right.
Yeah, what if I really like the taste of it?
I bet you'd like the sensation because it sounds delightful.
Getting
you
milk.
Need to carry, you need to carry around more mints than you do now if that's the case.
Yeah.
Hey, can I do something? Can I just do something with you real quick? you're going to like it, I promise.
Anyway, apparently massaging the prostate can be very enjoyable for us guys, but apparently it was a little too enjoyable for 56-year-old Milo Johansson, who was receiving a prostate exam from his doctor, Dr. Smith, when Dr. Smith pulled out his favorite prank, making you come unexpectedly from another man's finger.
Oh, just a classic one from Dr. Smith.
It's like the most aggressive form of tickling, really.
What did you make me do?
Yeah. He loves doing that.
He whispers in his ear right before he does it.
Yeah, I'm going to make you calm.
You're going to like this. I'm about to change your life. But Milo...
Just go with it.
Yeah. But Milo don't play like that and became enraged.
So he doesn't play like that.
He doesn't play like
that. Sexually assaulted.
Right, he doesn't play like that. So he shot Dr. Smith twice in the chest and is now on the run, presumably having left the country where he can get his prostate milked all the time without anyone knowing.
Now he's just addicted to getting his prostate milked.
He turned him on to
and an addict. Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be killing a few more people.
That's why he's mad. He realizes that his life has just changed in a way that he can't handle.
What did you do to me?
Right.
You made me come.
No one makes me come.
So the doctor he shot had this to say, quote, the prostate is like a male G-spot and it carries semen. It is very sensitive, so when it is touched and massaged, you get an orgasm with almost no effort. The prostate is only accessible through the anus, and that's not very comfortable for most men. I understand that Milo was shocked by what happened to him, an orgasm. Huh?
What was the reckoning process like for Milo? Because you leave the office there at first confused, and then it's going to slowly kind of come to you what happened.
No, it came to him immediately what happened. That's why he shot him in the chest.
Him in the office?
Yeah, he shot him in the office, I believe. So an orgasm meant something sexual had taken place between us, and he became very aggressive, ordering me to apologize and say no.
How's this guy still talking?
No, homie. He got shot, but he's alive.
He's alive?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He wanted him to apologize.
I should have seen it coming.
Yeah, we're going to get a metal detector installed.
Most guys love it when I milk their prostate without warning. Yeah. This guy seemed to get a little upset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should have seen that handgun in his pants.
Yeah, so he said it, he ordered him to apologize and say no, homie. The doctor said I did not even know what that means. Milo apparently called his 29-year-old girlfriend and told her hasta la vista, and she never heard from him again. His number was out of service, and she said, quote, he hated homosexuals, I know that, but the shooting, I never thought he'd take it that far. Milo's assistant says Milo is very homophobic, saying, quote, he forces people to say no.
As an assistant.
Yeah, no homo when they made contact with him, even if he just accidentally touched his hand.
He's a big no homo guy.
A big no homo guy. And then, so going
it's
to the comment
for Milo.
Yeah, it's just all he needs. Going to the comment section, Jay says, and sounds like a closet homosexual. And if this story were real, you'd be right, Jay. But it's it's about as fake as Attorney General Ravensburg's apology.
It's fake.
It's fake.
You said it's as fake as a Ravensburg apology?
Yeah.
Fake as a Ravensburg story?
Yeah, that's a good, that's as fake as it goes. Yeah.
It's like literally like 50 people sent us this story, so we had to cover it, but it's definitely fake.
It's too good to be true.
The headline says, man shoots doctor in chest after prostate exam makes him cum.
Genius whoever wrote it.
Great troll article.
What's great is that if you go to different links, people are touching it up and putting their own spin on it. So like
the
story's a little different.
It's traveling. It's gonna go. This story's taking off.
We should add a police sketch to it.
I can't believe you made me come.
There's a lot of unbelievable parts of that story.
No man makes me come.
Yeah. No, get back in there, Jizz. No. It's a man that's doing this to you.
You can't undo what you've done.
He's trying to put his jizz back in. No.
Milo.
Yeah.
Good thing he's fake.
Everyone's okay.
Right. Yeah, everyone's fine.
Good. You're going to like this.
Good. I'm glad that they set that in Florida, too.
I'll tell you what, though.
Story. Oh, yeah.
When I get my first prostate exam, which is coming soon, I'm going to be thinking about this fucking fake story. You better believe it.
Are you going to hope that you get a little milking?
I'm going to be nervous. Oh. Like, don't milk me, doc.
You're going to hope for that. I don't know. I mean, maybe kind of cool to get an accidental milk.
I might put a condom on.
Yeah. You know what we should do is the next bet we do, we should bet for the rights to get a tattoo on someone's ass that says, yes, milk me, doc. Or, whoever loses.
Wow. That's a tough one.
I'm not loser doing that, tattoos
no
are
what
tough.
I lose.
Yeah, loser tattoos are tough. That's something we all have.
No matter what I say, doc.
Milk me, doc. Milk me, doc's a tough one.
No matter what I say before you put me under.
Yeah, that was like what we did with IP Relay. It was fucked up.
IP Relay was great. That was a service.
It's for deaf people? Is it IP Relay?
I think
it's like
mute people, I believe.
Yeah, and it's like the person on the other end of the line is the operator. So like the people that work for IP Relay that typed out the messages for the other people. One person generally can, you know, speak and the other person can't. So the one person calls an operator who texts out the messages for the mute person to read, and you have a conversation, and that person's like the middleman, and we would always be like, I, the operator, am in love with you. And we like make the operator like say like inappropriate things coming from the operator. And they caught on to us and hung up on us a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good scheme, though. It was pretty funny.
Prank and mute.
Because they have to announce themselves as operator. I am the operator.
Yes.
And like, so like, I'm the operator.
Yeah. And then say, breaking the fourth
wall. As the operator. I want to, you know, whatever. Yeah. Okay. All right. Back to some more mask trouble with a double. Mask double trouble. First up in this double, we've got a tragic tale from Orange County, Florida, within their public school district, where a young man and his father have been mercilessly harassed by the school board for their love of Hooters restaurant and Hooters branded gear. So shout out to Jill and all the other Hooters girls from Baton Rouge back when I was at LSU. Hooters. I'm a big Hooters guy. What are you guys? You guys, Hooters guys?
Oh, who isn't? Hooters is iconic. It's like Superman and Batman and Hooters, right? Like, American to the core Hooters.
Wings, chicks, beers.
I love taking my son to Hooters. It's always fun. Yeah.
You take your son to Hooters?
I've taken him there a couple times, yeah.
What I was about to say before Wes shared that is, growing up, the guy's dads that would take their kids to Hooters, that was always weird to me.
Why?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Well,
what's wrong
with showing kind of perpetuating misogyny and objectification of women?
Misogyny?
Oh,
no,
my God, Pat. The girls that work at Hooters are really out of here.
Most of the employees I know from Hooters are females who enjoyed the job.
The objectification of don't take your son to Hooters.
Yeah. The point is,
I've seen Pat shove a dollar bill in a stripper's ass.
Yeah, no shit.
I don't want it. A child there. My point is the dads
asses. They're just serving me food.
The dads that would take their kids to Hooters were clearly taking their kids to Hooters because they wanted to be at Hooters and they happened to be with their kids.
Everybody wants to be at Hooters. Everybody wants to be at Hooters. I think there's people who want to be at Hooters. There's people who don't want to be at Hooters.
Are you sex shaming the sex worker industry?
No, bro. I'm all about the sex industry. It weirds me out to bring an 11-year-old into Hooters. There's just a lot of it's just a real uncle vibe in there. Like,
well,
no,
you're not the. We'll get into it, Beef. You're not the only one.
You're saying that Hooters in general is just a big objectification of women. It sounds like you hate Hooters.
No, right. I like Hooters.
Nah, that's kind of what it sounds like.
Now, I think
I used to fly Hooters Air, bro. I think there's Hooters people a bunch of miles.
Let's get into the story and see what happens in the real world, and then we'll see if this plays off to us and it relates to our situation here. So we're talking about two Florida men, and that's Greg Golba and his son Ian Golba. And they just love the Golbas. They just love rocking their Hooters face masks whenever they need to, when they go out in public and they got to respect their fellow citizens with a face mask. They respect them with a Hooters branded face mask. And well, Ian's fifth grade teacher at school seems to hate both Hooters and respecting your fellow citizens. So she rudely asked Ian to remove his Hooters mask in class and replace it with a less effective backup mask, a less desirable mask than the Hooters-themed mask that Ian prefers to wear. Yeah. Ian said this, "I wore it, and she said it was not appropriate for school, and I asked her why, and she said, if you really want to know why, go ask the principal." So he did go ask the principal. He told me to take it off 3 times, and I asked him why, and he said, just take it off. So I took it off and wore a different mask, unquote. So that was, they didn't give him a reason. They just said, just get out of here with your Hooters mask, Ian. That's what the school told him. And Greg Golba, his father, is left confused as to why his son's Hooters mask is fine one day, but not the next. He's been wearing it for weeks, allegedly. And also, what's the big deal with the Hooters mask anyways? It's just a restaurant. Greg doesn't think it's that offensive at all as the father. And the school, all they'll say is it's just the principal's call. They won't say whether it's wrong or right, but it's the principal's call.
Yeah, Principal Cassidy over there.
The restaurant's literally called Tits. The restaurant is called Tits. It serves a purpose. I'm all about it.
Wait a minute. It's an owl.
Yeah, it's an owl.
Yeah, you're right. It's an owl.
I would have never thought Principal Beeve would be the one.
Look at the photo. Bro, the Beeve is all about getting nasty when you're of consenting age.
But Pat's not.
Look at the photo of the dad and the son and tell me that that's, you know, tell me that you should be taking that kid to Hooters and rocking a Hooters mask.
It's not a strip club.
I mean, it's not a strip club.
They're allowed to go to Hooters because Hooters is a fine American establishment.
Maybe we shouldn't go to the beach anymore either.
What? What is
good
that?
Good point.
What is it? Also, Hooters, Also, Hooters, a proud partner of Barstool, and an excellent sports bar.
No, I'm pro Hooters. You know that.
Love to go.
You just don't want kids. You just don't want kids in Hooters.
I just don't understand why, like you know, the baseball end of the year banquets being held at Hooters. I just don't get that.
Oh, I got to go to a Hooters. I got to go to
because that's the best day of the season.
Yeah, right.
I was somebody's coach of the year. I was somebody's date to a Hooters Christmas party one time. One of the most fun Christmas parties I've ever been to. Excellent time, excellent people.
Yeah, that was where you peaked.
Establishment. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's probably the best. Probably the best. One of the best winters I've ever had. Yeah. Next up, courtesy of the internet this week in Florida, we've got another mask trouble video of anti-maskers parading through a Florida Target. Mark retweeted this one, so check that out at Hard Factor Mark. There's one guy in a MAGA hat and a goofy smile, and the rest of the group of 7 to 8 are just in jorts, begging people to take their masks off with them. So just like running through the Target saying, hey, we won't be chained by our masks. Take them off with us. It's so free.
What day did this happen, Will? This happened on Tuesday?
It happened like earlier this week.
Yeah, that was National Burn Your Mask Day. Same deal.
Oh, okay. Burn Your Mask Day. Okay, so they tried it in Target too, not just Disney World. Basically what happened, nothing. They walked through the store, all the other shoppers stayed 6 feet away from them, and then they just filmed them and then posted on social media. I don't think that was the effect they were going for.
It was a pretty small group.
Pretty small protest, yeah.
It reminded me of like when like the band people would get together and do like something silly.
Yeah, like the flag girls.
Yeah. Like that's like what it reminded me of.
I'm also pretty sure most of the guys were just following the chick.
One of them was stacked. Yeah. It was
the pigeon. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go today?
The pigeon-toed guy was all about the girl in the front.
Hey, Pat. Some people call those Hooters, right? Big Hooters.
Yeah.
She looked like a candidate.
I'm mega pro tits, dude. I'm one of the most pro tits guys you're ever gonna meet.
Yeah, wait a minute. Okay. You're the guy that told the story about the tits question marks the other day.
Yeah, bro. It checks out. I'm about tits. Yeah. I have a long history of being about them. So,
all right.
Okay. Touched a bunch of them. So,
seemed like a little flip-flop.
So, if I offered to take you to Hooters, you'd go?
Yeah, hell yeah, I'm there. Just right, I don't want to bring my nephew, you know.
Well,
are we going to go table to table and tell the young kids they shouldn't be here?
No, I'm not going to do that, but I
want you to know. This is objectifying all these women in here. So,
You
know. I got to say, my nephew is, I think he's just turned, he's 9 or 10. And I would feel very fine bringing him into Hooters. I would be a proud uncle.
Yeah. That one.
All right. I'm fine.
Maybe we could go save all the women that work there.
They don't
of course,
need saving.
His mom,
they're
I'm
fine.
Not sure if his mom would allow it, but, you know, hey.
They're fine.
What she doesn't know won't hurt her.
Let's check out these ladies. They'll bring you chicken.
It'll be
legs.
A lesson.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go save them, Pat.
Yeah, you're gonna be sitting in this chair for the next 30, 40 years. Get used to the view. All right,
I think we're on voicemails. Yeah,
Leslie has 2 5-star reviews of voicemails. So real quick, guys, if you're new to the show, 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, huge for us. And I kind of wish that Spotify would bring this in some sort of review process because we have been featured. In like the best news podcast on Spotify. Apple's given us no love. The idea behind this 5-star review process is, fuck, man, if we have a ton of 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, which was the juggernaut, now Spotify's making a play, we'll get featured on New and Notable, right? No editorial support whatsoever from these Apple motherfuckers. So what I'm going to ask you guys to do right now is...
One other thing, Beef, let me interrupt you. Amazon has entered the chat, and you can listen to us on Amazon Music and Podcast. They just... We're all over there. This past week, we got
If anybody
Amazon.
Knows how algorithms work or whatever, tell us what we need to do and let's flood
these.
Yeah,
start doing the subscribe unsubscribe version of Amazon. Get 100 us to the top of the charts.
And guys, on that note, so yeah, and I know Mrs. Cassidy will be very happy about the Amazon because whenever she says that she didn't listen to Hard Factor, it's because she listens through her Alexa, and sometimes Alexa has some trouble bringing up Hard Factor. So that won't happen any longer. But guys, real quick, we got moved to the news section in Apple Podcasts. So I'm going to ask you guys to do this. It's an old PMT move. It's classic. Now, we dominated the government and organization section. We fucked it up. Us and $0.30, we're just swinging from the rafters at the top of the charts. We're news now. We're in the big leagues. I'm going to ask you to unsubscribe to Hard Factor and resubscribe to Hard Factor. I'm going to ask you guys to do that in unison. One, two, three. Excellent work. Okay, cool.
Now, Now do it 10 more times.
10 please. More times. No, I think maybe, yeah. Anyway, so hopefully we'll trick the algorithm. Let's shoot up those news charts. And guys, if you leave a 5-star review, we will read it verbatim. That's the deal. Here they are. From Modak Black, Nickmo 39 is the Modak Black's the name of the deal. It's Nickmo again. Shout out for all the hard factor guys helping me stay sober-ish as a 22-year-old. Wes and the Beef specifically. Also, I used my dad's phone to submit this rating, so it should count as a new one. Thanks, Nick.
Nice.
nice.
And get that's on the pod. Work, Nick. Also, I subscribed, unsubscribed, and resubscribed a few times. Have a great fucking day, boys. Love you all.
He's ahead of the game.
Nick knows what's going on. I had not read that before.
If everyone pulled a Nick would be... Gold plated diamonds.
Nick it up, Nick. Boys. All right, this next one is from Jackson. Oh, yeah. The Hardo Hive is strong right now. It's buzzing. Jackson Stonewall, 5-star roast. 4 overweight middle-aged guys provide fantastic down-the-middle news, with the guy with the lowest credit score slowly becomes more pro-communist. Well, yeah, that is true. Hopefully, Comrade Beef will eventually finish his transformation into a hardcore conservative. And I speak for the whole Hardo Hive in saying, please, for the love of God. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. I mean, that's not heard, happening. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard that last Hooters section, but I don't think.
Yeah.
yeah.
Got some work
not.
To do.
You know, I don't. I swear to God, if people are going around saying I'm not pro tits, I'm going to be very upset because that's not my message.
No, I mean, you're doing it to yourself.
No one put words in your mouth. You.
I wish someone put tits in my mouth. All right, this
there
next
you
one
go.
Is
there
Nick.
You go.
There he is.
There you go.
Sorry, ladies.
There he is.
Hey, cheers,
ooh,
man.
I felt my earring. Hey. Felt my earring. This next one is from Reed from Utah. It's titled, Thank You. Hey, guys. I found you while opening a store last February, and you guys got me through those first rough few months. I really hope you guys get your contract so I can keep learning strange things that happen in the news. Just bought 2 of your guys' shirts, and he used the proper punctuation on guys, the collective. I love that. To help out your merch sales, thanks for the laughs. Appreciate you, brother.
Hell yeah. Thanks, Reed.
That's awesome.
Love that, Reed.
Reed, let us
some
know.
Good reviews.
Let us know what kind of store you got, man. That sounds cool.
Yeah, well, yeah. We'll come to your store, bro. We'll shop there. Opening a store is hard. Good on Reed, especially during this time. This next one's from Stoy Bear, and it's Hardo-rama. A pizza delivery boy named Wes accidentally gets cryogenically frozen and awakens in the year 3000. He adapts to life in the 31st century and works for his great times 20 nephew's intergalactic delivery company. There's a great cast of characters, including PFT, a Cyclops woman who was orphaned as a child, Will, a loud-mouthed, beer-guzzling robot, Mark, a crustacean-like alien who is oftentimes the butt of Crew's jokes, and Pat, an idiotic windbag general who thinks he's God's gift to women. Long-time listener, love you guys.
I don't like jokes, huh? Sounds like fiction.
Well, he got us all. I mean, I'm a woman. I think it's because of my boobs.
No, you're a bear.
Again, no, you're again. A beer guzzling. You know, PFT is a woman.
Mm-hmm. He's a Cyclops.
I'm beer guzzling robot.
Beer guzzling.
Mm-hmm.
Robot.
Fuck yeah.
Yours is pretty good.
Yeah. I like that pizza delivery boy is amazing. Best job ever.
As long as I'm the general, like you know, John Connor, I'm cool with that. All right, this next one's from Black and Gold Super Bowl, HAGFD. Keep coming up with current events without contemplating ending it all. No presentation, hilarious dialogue, big energy every day. Thanks, guys, and keep up the great work. Oh, keeping up with current events without contemplating any at all. Next one is from S. Rod.
Oh, going back to that, though, I like this now that I see the order. Okay. Mark, I don't think you're the butt of everybody's jokes, but a crustacean alien.
Because I'm not.
But a crustacean alien, though, I feel like that's a good fit for you.
Yeah, because
you like aliens under the sea.
I just don't know what podcast this guy's been listening to.
Well, he's just saying you could be crappy, I think. And he's
Mark's usually dishing it out.
Yeah, exactly. That's,
right.
Yeah. No, Mark makes a specific choice to bully. He's not to get
them. I'm a bullier. If I'm the butt of the jokes, I'm getting out of that friend group. You know what I mean?
I'm going to go find someone else to bully.
That ain't for me, man.
All right, this next one's from Esra 2006. Awesome pod. Boys, I truly enjoy listening to the show. It's the only news I take in on a daily basis. Keep up the great work. And HAGFD, Sergio.
Nice.
This next one's from a lady. Hey, Rach 0781. Thank you for waking up my boyfriend in the morning. I would just like to thank you for giving my boyfriend something to get him out of bed in the morning. Every morning, I am awakened to the pleasant sounds of good morning, which startles me because I'm working from home and have another 2.5 hours to sleep. There's also this one special time he got high and said he sent the Beeve a DM, and his news of the day was that a guy from Barstool responded to him. Oh, yeah. If you send us DMs, we'll always get back to you.
We will respond.
Mm-hmm. We love chatting it up.
P.S. I really do enjoy the Florida Man Friday stories. Keep it up. We need some light in these dark times. Agreed.
Nice.
Next one's from User.
So she's gonna like today.
Yeah. User 15786. Oh yeah, what's up, boys? Took my coworker's phone to leave a review. HAGFD. Thank you.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. That's two. So two people have done what we've asked and taken like someone else's phone. And if you do that, it counts as a new review. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well done. This next one's from Victor Prozac. Prozac. The Brita filter of news, and then the rest is cut off. Hard factor filters out all of the mainstream bias and gives the news fairly while also busting each other's balls. Keep up the good work, HAGFD. By the way, I love how they're hashtagging HAGFD. We should,
get that going. HAGFD is on. It's just the thing.
Mm-hmm. Have a good fucking day.
I mean, it's just the best thing ever.
You instantly feel better about your day when you tell someone else to have a great fucking day.
Yep.
It's like pass it on. It's like that movie, Pay It Forward.
Well, yeah, they know that you're serious because of the hardcore language you're using.
That's right.
Yeah, and it makes them feel good.
It's fun. Feel good.
Finally, guys, from Mace Actual, love the pod / question. Gentlemen, love the show, but seeking answers. What is the California bill, SB 145, and why are people freaking out that it makes touching kids legal?
Oh, yeah. Right. So you guys look up the actual rules? Yeah.
Yes, yes. So we've talked about this on our text thread with the interns and stuff, and I've looked it up. First of all, none of us live in California, so we don't have any skin in the game. That's a little joke about pedophilia.
Inappropriate.
But it's not about decriminalizing or making any sort of pedophilia stuff legal. It's about registering on the sex offender list, and it gives it the power to the judges to make the call. So I guess already in existence, the law is in California, if you're within 10 years of age, which is a pretty fucking big gap of a minor to a non-minor. So that's like you could do 25 to 15 or 24 to 14. That's a large gap. This already exists. For vaginal sex, it's up to the judge to decide whether they should be on the criminal sex offender list like long term after the conviction. It has nothing to do with convicting them or not. And what this law does is adds LGBTQ or other forms of sex, like oral sex, to that existing law where the judge can decide as opposed to it's mandatory. Right now, if you get caught giving oral sex like an 18-year-old to a 16-year-old, they have to go on the sex offender list forever. This lets the judge decide on oral sex and other forms of sex like they already do for vaginal sex. So it's not
100.
That's all it is.
And Mark, to that point,
just loosening up that sex offender list.
I want to say
10's a big gap.
Guys,
that already exists.
Read the laws, because there's right now, especially during this like very highly political time, people are using things like this to get people riled up. And
California has some crazy shit though. They're bringing back basically, they're getting rid of anti-discriminatory laws this year as well, so they can bring back.
But the rhetoric of this legalizes pedophilia is just
right. It's just right. But they have Proposition 16 as well, which is also radical and crazy.
Well, like
I mean, California going to California.
The Virginia law, though, for example, that like everyone was up in arms, like it's legalizing assault on police officers. No, there was a law that just gave the judge the discretion of charging someone who has a minor assault on a police officer, a felony or a misdemeanor. It's usually good because,
that's why judges are, appointed, right? They're supposed to judge.
Because, not one size fits all. There's always a little bit different in between each case. So anyway, okay, let's get to voicemails real quick, guys. The first one up, and here we go.
What's up, boys? It's the Black Widow from Chicago calling in in reference to your Thursday story about the Vita Coffee House in Washington. There is no law in the United States preventing restaurants from giving out stale food or uneaten food. There's never been a lawsuit related to it either. There's literally nothing that stands against it except for greed. I'm a chef up here in Chicago, and if there's ever any extra food to be know I'm giving out to these homeless people because they're just trying to have as great of a fucking day as we are. So go forth into this beautiful weekend and have a great fucking day.
Okay, so that last part got a little garbled, but essentially he was
saying... Black Widow letting us know.
Yeah, he's
Black
a chef.
Widow gives food... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, he's a chef in Chicago, so he gives it out. That was garbled.
And he gives food to the homeless, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, so, he's the man. Giving out the food like you should. Yeah, I mean, I didn't understand that. So I looked up a little bit more. I saw that, like, maybe some cities have ordinances against, you know, handing it directly to homeless people because it could spread, like, they're worried you could get them sick or something like that. I mean, come on. If you're going to throw it in the trash, just maybe don't put it in the trash if there's a homeless guy around saying everything.
Yeah, good on you, Black Widow.
Yeah. Also, I think what he's talking about, and I read a little bit up on this, too, it's protected by the First Amendment, which is awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Also, another good thing, too, if you're somebody who does, like, a lot of scheduling, food scheduling, whatever, just find a homeless shelter on your route home. If you have leftovers, I know a lot of businesses, stuff like that. I mean, you know, that stuff makes a difference for some people.
All right,
some
guys.
Of those places are intimidating, though. Ask Wes when he.
Yeah, you might have to just drop and run.
You might just
drop it on the sidewalk and run away.
Right.
But still,
head down.
I'm talking about when Wes tried to go and do something good, and then he got.
And they're like, "Why didn't you separate it out for us, you asshole?"
Oh yeah, God. Yeah, never.
They're
again.
Yelling at him. They're
again.
Yelling at him.
Oh, they're not always the most stable people, but I mean, you
know.
I love it when Wes tries to do something nice and then. He ends up in a situation that creates anxiety for him. That's, yeah. All right, guys, next one.
Hey, fellas. This is Joe Q from Georgia. Just got done listening to your interview with Pete Fuller, and whew, what a terrible take from that guy. I live in Georgia. That guy has no shot in winning whatever House District seat he's running for, House District 31. He has raised under $5,000 and is just a absolute lightweight. Tommy Benton, the guy he's running against, I think he failed to mention, was stripped of his committee chairmanship. So Republicans have denounced the comments he's made, but also relegated him to a backbench role. My bone to pick is with Mark, and I thought it was sort of hilarious that Mr. Fuller was championing rural broadband. Mark, that was one of the things Governor Kemp ran on. To have someone bash
cool.
the governor and then ultimately take one of his campaign issues and use it is hilarious to me. Mark, I don't know what your take is on Governor Kemp. It's hilariously bad. You need to actually follow what is going on in our state. He has opened up businesses which wanted to be opened back up. If you look at our economy right now, we're one of the only states not in the shitter. Our state employees aren't being furloughed. The budget cuts haven't been as bad as we thought they would be. So I would just look at the jobs we have added during a pandemic. And it's a take on your part that is just woefully misinformed. And basically, if you don't know our state, don't comment about it. So I'd like to see better takes from you, man. Normally, I expect better. Expect you not to join up with the Communist Party that Pat's part of. So, you know, just look at what's going on in this state.
Jesus, this is a long one.
Just spinning you in a direction that you shouldn't go. Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, so that was a long one, but okay. I want to play it because it opens up a large portion of discussion.
Okay, let me just get straight to it. First of all, I don't know all of Brian Kemp's platform, and nor do I care. I'm not going to be able to.
I know that it comes out of the cab of an F-250.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to memorize every governor's platform. Good for him for the broadband internet, and I'm glad you're a proud Georgian, and it sounds like you're doing good, which is great. My beef with Brian Kemp is this. He claimed on April 3rd, when he finally fucking did the stay-at-home order, one of the last states to do it, that he just had found out that asymptomatic people could spread COVID. When that was very common information for over 6 weeks, mid-February, the rest of the world knew asymptomatic people could spread, but Brian Kemp didn't find out until April 2nd or 3rd. So my beef is only with his handling of the COVID virus. Some people don't have the same opinion as me. I'm bullish on the COVID virus. You know, great that the economy is doing well. I think he's a horse's ass for how he handled that. And claiming that he didn't know about the asymptomatic things is just fucking ridiculous. I think the three worst governors, in my opinion, just related to COVID, not their internet or other bullshit, like whatever the platform is good for them, is Brian Kemp, Ron DeSantis, and Andrew Cuomo, in no particular order. I don't think he did a good job.
Yeah, but the best governor protecting his daughter's virginity cap
right.
ranks one
right
there. right. All right, so next voicemail.
Hey, boys. Just got on to predict it for the first time, and I'm obsessed. Thanks a lot. My wife's probably going to kill me. But I was curious, what things have you guys recently gotten into that you just, you know, can't put your phone down? No free ads. Have a good fucking day. Great fucking day. Oh, shit.
Pornhub.
All right, yeah, let's start with Mark.
Porno.
Yeah, I don't know. I play a lot of games on my phone.
What are you playing?
Like all sorts of RPGs and shit, man.
He doesn't even want to say there's nerdy.
Me. Yeah.
That's awesome. There's so nerdy, he doesn't want to reveal the titles of them.
No, they're just like the classics, you know, like your Final Fantasies. I just played the entire Final Fantasy IX on my phone.
They have them on your phone?
Like 100 hours. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to pay for them. Whoa. Like 14 bucks.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And yeah, good on you for getting to predict it. That's awesome. It is really addicting. But yeah, Wes, what are you in on your phone?
On my phone, I've been looking at Groupon a lot. I've gotten back into Groupon, just searching
just
deals.
Couponing? You just
no, just like deals that I may or may not need.
Are you treating yourself?
Not really. I buy like oil changes,
window shopping.
Doing a lot of window shopping on Groupon these days.
What about you, Willie?
Very nice. No phone stuff for me. It's all been TV recently, especially with sports coming back. Lots of sports on the TV. And then also I'm playing that Ghost of Tsushima. It's an RPG.
RPG?
I don't know.
Is it similar
it's like
to
action,
like
action? It's like an action RPG kind of.
Yeah, it's an RPG.
Is it similar to like Red Dead in any way with the open world?
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Skyrim. It's open world.
Yeah.
No load times.
It's an open world game, but it's badass. I think it's only for Sony though. It's very Japanese. It's about the samurai. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Love that. And then me, it's Boom Beach. It's been that game. It's the only game I play on my phone whenever I want to turn my brain off. It's like four or 5 years old. I probably spent $1,000 on it over the.
Are you
terrible?
Oh shit! Are you in a clan?
I started playing Clash of Clans, but I just went back to Boom Beach. I don't even like it anymore.
There clans in Boom Beach? Is what I'm asking.
No, I'm part of a clan. Yeah, I attack in concert with people.
Very nice.
All right, final voicemail, guys.
What's up, guys? It's Hardo. Hi, Bubba. Just heard your story on the radio about the Canadian secret shitter. I was wondering, Pat, I know you answered this. Very psychotic story. I was wondering if anybody had any opportunity to get revenge on someone without the person knowing, sort of like this guy did in the Canadian shitter. How would you go about it? What would you do? You can even maybe give us a backstory on who it was. Have a great fucking day.
Oh, well, man. Do you want to just rehash your story from yesterday's radio?
I'd really rather not.
Does anybody else have a good revenge story?
Pat's the king of revenge. He talked about it on yesterday's radio, which I was not a part of. And if I was there, I would have brought up that he threw me under the bus too. So like years later, Pat shit on the hood of a guy's car to get revenge. We looked up his address in our like high school year, like notary book or whatever.
Middle school directory.
And then we drove all the way to his house and he took a shit on this dude's car at night. And then years later, we're at a bonfire and he brings up the story. And then all of a sudden he didn't notice it or maybe didn't know, but the kid's younger brother was sitting to the right of Pat. And he goes, "That's my brother, dude." And then Pat goes, "Mark was there." And I was like, "Fuck you."
he gave it credit that he threw you under the bus.
He did. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, That was it. Pat, you got your revenge. I don't have a good revenge story. Maybe like sports.
You don't need a good revenge story when you're friends with Pat. Pat will get them for you.
That's true. I will. I do love vengeance. There's a lot of stories, Bubba, that I'll tell you offline. And maybe we'll save for the Hard Factor book whenever that comes out. But
there's one at the beach, which is all.
No,
time,
we got to keep that under wraps.
I'm not gonna name any names, but I had a guy that used to bully me a lot, and I ended up hooking up with his younger sister. That was my
nice.
Yeah.
Ooh. There you go.
And then didn't call her or something?
No, it's just stupid drunk thing, but it felt.
Was that out of spite? Or
No, that was double.
Yeah, just
so you wanted to and Spider.
Yeah,
yeah. The best of both worlds. Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. this question is literally giving me like tons of flashbacks and stuff I forgot about. But now
you better end the show before you.
I gotta go. Yeah, gotta all right, guys, thank you so much for listening to Hard Factor. Give us a follow. We're running long, so we're gonna edit there. Make sure to have a great fucking weekend.
Yeah. No. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay. Now get out of here.
Well, that's
right
a little
now.
Rough, Randy. No.
Come on, baby.